I was just telling Rabbi Center, right? You don't need this is not the Mekubal, but you don't really, the Mekubal is Erev Shavuos to give a lot of chizik in Torah. You don't need on Erev Shavuos chizik in Torah, right? Because you all know that Erev Shavuos is the one time that everybody learns. Shavuos is the time that everybody learns. And you know, like I said, you know, you see that one bacher and you see, hey, you're still in yeshiva? I didn't know you're still in yeshiva. Leil Shavuos, you see everybody. Right. So I want to talk about 20 different things today. Right? All the things that are negeya in the next few days. One of them is inyanim of basar and chalav, preferably to be kept separately. Right? But let me tell you a thought first. I had a thought like this. Why are there going to be like trees and flowers and things like that in the yeshiva? They bring it or no? Right, you guys have to go around picking. Don't steal, right? But you can go around. What?
Flowers.
Yeah, flowers and what? You can have or no? Oh, that's the smell downstairs. What? No, but you have to get flowers and trees. The Chassam Sofer, they used to put a chuppah around the Chassam Sofer. Don't go put around the yeshiva. Put a chuppah, right? Of flowers and trees and dust. Sofer was very. Very serious about this. But anyways, so I was thinking a thought. I'll tell you all the weird, interesting thoughts that I had like this. But one thought was like this. One thought was, is that where does it come from, the minig of trees and flowers and all these achats? Okay, everyone knows the pshat is because Har Sinai was filled with flowers and trees. And it's also because the whole world was filled with this incredible smell. The whole world is filled with the incredible smell when at Matan Torah, the whole world is filled with this incredible smell. So the male of flowers and this and that and whatever. Okay. You know, so I was thinking a different pshat. But everybody says pshat. I'm not going to say pshat because it's, you know, so it's like this. The Gemara says, everyone knows the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Taflamah. The Gemara says that when David HaMelech was about to die, so he said to Bernish, I mean, he knew he had like 70 years and whatever, so he wanted to know, like, when's his time up? When's his time up? So Kosh Baruch Hu told him, you can't tell him when his time is. So he told him, okay, but at least tell me, you know, which day of the week. So Kosh Baruch Hu told him it's Shabbos. It was Grad Shavuos also, that's why they talk about it now. So he told him it's Shabbos. So he said, okay. So now that he knew the secret, so David HaMelech sat and plugged and learned the whole entire time and didn't stop for a second. And the Malach HaMavis is sitting there, you know, has to bring David HaMelech. And Akash Baruch Hu, he said to him, fine. So then, you know, David HaMelech and the Chejmin didn't want to die on Shabbos, also because the Gemara said that he was Mukse afterward. And so he said, can't die later because Shlomo HaMelech has to become the king and every single thing has its time and everything. So the Kitzur, David HaMelech decided he's going to sit and learn the whole Shabbos and you can't get David. So David HaMelech is learning and learning. He's learning Tehillim, you know. He's learning Kiveigers, and he's learning. And by the time he gets to, you know, it's already close to Shkia. That's Tzidkas Chatzedek when David died. So Machamavis is getting all nervous. And Machamavis starts doing all types of things. You know, he's bringing like horses and making matzev. So finally, he started rustling the trees. He started shaking the trees. And so David HaMelech heard something going on. But David HaMelech didn't stop learning. He just kept on walking while he was thinking and learning, or he had a Gemara like that. And he kept on walking. And then David HaMelech went to the tree. I think he started climbing up the tree. He started climbing, which on Shabbos you have to know. But anyways, he started, and when he got to a certain place, there was a ladder there or something. When he got to one of the rungs on the ladder, so the Malach HaMavis made it that it should crack. And David HaMelech stopped for a second, and he died. That's it, right? So I was thinking like this. I was thinking that's maybe the pshat. Why on Shavuos, you see where my labels are. But why on Shavuos we have these trees and flowers and everything in the base medrash? So it's like a reminder, you know, that you stop for 1 second. It's a great shot, no? Right? Every Shavuos I look at the tree. Right? Last year, I said over in my shul 2 years ago, last year on the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, I talked about the meaning of trees. I didn't say this part, right? But I spoke about the meaning of trees, and I said the story of the Chassam Sofer, that they used to put a chuppah around the Chassam Sofer's chair. There's a whole story that the Gabbai came into the shul and the Gabbai said, what kind of crazy thing is this and whatever, they put a chuppah with flowers and whatever. So he said he was very upset and he said don't do it and whatever, and that year the Gabbai died, right? So last year around my makim in the shul, so they made not like a chuppah, but like they put like lots of trees. I sat there learning the whole, now I know this part. Right? I know this part. I sat there learning the whole night every time. was one thought I want to tell you. Next thought I want to tell you. So Gemara and Marcus and Daf, your non-related thoughts are related, whatever I want, right? You could ask me also, but this is, you know, whatever comes out. So Gemara and Marcus. And Tafyud, the Gemara Makis tells a similar story about the Gemara says, now what's the safest place on earth? Everybody's nervous with the missiles. Missiles is the one thing I think everybody agrees zero to be nervous about, right? Because it's like, no chance. It's a lack of shtadlis kemat. What's in the gaya? I was in my car. Okay, so maybe if you're in I remember when I was here with the Kailal, when the Kailal used to be here, you were here in those days? Right, so they had a siren. You were here when so we had a siren. So everybody went into the hallway. Right, the place was filled with more smoke than a bar. Fragment. Right, it was like, you know, it was my young guy and your guys and everything. Right, the place looked like, I don't want to say what it looked like. Right, and so, you know, somebody thought like maybe it actually hit. I gave shear in the hallway. Nobody was here in those days. It wasn't in anybody. So it was the middle of Seder, and I just came in there and I started giving shear in the middle of the hallway. Guys were coming out of like the woodwork. They were like from here and there, right? See, like guys were like schluffy couples. Right, one guy was like toilet paper fragments. You know? Anyways, so why am I telling you that story? Oh, because. No, so if you're near a bomb shelter, I guess you go to a bomb shelter or whatever. I don't know what yeshiva is. I'm not giving stomach to go to the hallway, right? That's what I remember was back then. They do go down to the Mikla. Yeah. Look, then they said you can go in just the stairwell. But now they go to Mikla. Okay, so it wakes you up anyways. Okay, anyways. But me, I'm in my car. It's 6:03 and this thing is going, the siren's going to go off, right? You know, so I call my wife. She says... She goes, yeah, it is one. I thought it was like Yerushalayim Yoyim, because it was, I thought it was, right? I thought it was Yerushalayim. My wife says, no, the Yerushalayim Yoyim one goes, like straight, or whatever. Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm in my car, so I closed my windows. What am I going to do? I just want to show you how mufka we are. I started driving faster. You're driving right into it, idiot. That's what I'm saying. It's like, no shyness, right? You know? So, why am I telling you this? So the only place that Vavada you're safe. I'm a normal, like, down to earth. I'm not with the floating in the air. So, if I'm telling you here's where you have no choice but to have bitachin, then you know you have no choice, right? So I was thinking, in this case, all the other things, you know, be talking, it's difficult. Here, it's your only option, Pashit, right? So there's a Gemara. Now, when you hear the Gemara, you'll have more appreciation. The Gemara Makis and Daf Yud. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that when the Talmud kills, so the Rebbe has to go to Golis, right? That's why, Derek Agav, could they get my name off of the Yeshiva website? You know, Rebellion. Friend of the Bachrim. Guy that hangs out with the Bachrim. I don't want, you know, I don't have much faith in you guys. But what's the reason why? Because if Chalila, one of the Bachrim, kills, so then he needs life, and without Rebbe, there's no life, so Mamela, he has to go to the Yermak. But then the Gemara says another thing. That one's famous. Every Bachrim knows that Gemara, right? But it's a different Gemara. The Gemara says that when the Rebbe kills, right, that's why you should also not want my name there, right? But when the Rebbe kills, so the Gemara says that then the Bachrim have to come with the Rebbe to Golis. And the Gemara says, so Gemara asks the Kasha. Gemara says, why? Why? The Gemara says, why? Once you're in the Mikla, once you're in the Beis Medrash, Harry, the Beis Medrash has a din of an ear Mikla. That's a Gemara. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara doesn't just like suffice. It's not just like Musar and Chizik. The Gemara says, Kipshutai. The Gemara says, like the Maisa with Rav Chizda. The Maisa with Rav Chizda was the Maisa with Rav Chizda. So the Gemara says that the Maisa with Rav Chizda was that Rav Chizda was learning. And the Malach HaMavis came to get Rav Chizda. And Rav Chizda was learning and learning and learning, and he couldn't get him. He couldn't get him. And Derech Agav, the Chofetz Chaim asked the Kasha, what do you mean he couldn't get? Rav Chizda didn't go to the toilet. Bishlam David HaMelech. So David HaMelech, he knew, don't do anything but learn and whatever, right? But because he knew his time was numbered, right? But Rav Chizda, for days and days, the Malcham of us was trying to get him. So he didn't go to the bathroom, he didn't eat, he didn't this. So Chofetz Chaim says, what shaychus? Avadi went to the bathroom, Avadi ate, Avadi slept, Avadi did all those things, right? But all that was for Kiyum of Torah. So he wasn't Mesiach Das from Torah. Everything was for the purpose of Torah. So the Malcham of us couldn't get him. Colesman, that Malcolm Amos just couldn't get him. Malcolm Amos couldn't get him. I told my younger light, their wives are nervous at home. And I told him, you tell them like this, that, but let me get to my younger light. Anyways, so the So the Gemara goes on and says that Rav Chisda was learning, and the Malchim Bavitz couldn't get him. The Gemara says, and then the Gemara says similar story with David HaMelech. The Gemara says that finally the Sultan came. He wanted to get Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says that Rav Chisda he didn't just rustle the trees. He like sat on a cedar tree. The Gemara says, and he broke it in half. All these cedar trees breaking all over. But, and then Rav Chisda heard it, and he stopped for a second, and then he died. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you see from over there that Rav Chisda Taka was in when he was in the base medrash and he was learning, right? Then he was safe. So Gemara learns Allah Lamaisa that an ear miklat, that the base medrash is the din of an ear miklat. That's a Gemara. So first of all, you know, you see from I just told my Talmid, I told him that wives are nervous. I told him, if you tell your wives not to be nervous, right? So then they're also protected, right? Because he'll be able to learn, and if he'll be able to learn, so the base medrash is koilet, that's borer, that's what it says. And that, you know, if you're not gonna be saying on that, you're just gonna be scared. Because there is no other thing you could do when, you know, okay, like I said, if you go to a miklat, mela, but you're not always going to be in a position where you're going to be able to get to a miklat, right? So mela, in the base medrash, Ivadai say, forget, she has to have an huggers. But you understand, like, you know, in my base medrash, you can't even hear it when there's a siren, right? You can't hear it. And sometimes in this base medrash, you also probably won't be able to hear it. If everybody's learning, what? You're going to hear it. Right, but if their shiva is going to be in here also, he's also not going to hear that, right? And then you're in the safest place on earth. Then you're pushed in the safe. Then you have no chiyav ishtadlus bichlal. And when you, so I said, if the women know that they're the echatimsa, so it's like they're going to the bathroom, it's like the eating, the drinking, then that massive, the malcham of it has no shlita because they're needed for the learning of the Torah also.
Right. Why don't you hear it?
Sorry?
Why don't you hear it? Because it saves you already.
Yeah. No, Kipshuta, it's not a geyu. Exactly. It's only the geyu, the people that are hearing it. Exactly. I like that. I like what you said. Every single saying. When you hear it, then that's where there's a tain on you, right? Smicha from Rabbi Kallis. From YU. You understand? It's a Marit Gezach. No, it's a Marit Gezach. It gives me a lot of chizik when I was in the car, right? I was on Bar Ilan driving down, right? I hear the siren. I was like, yeah, that's the siren, right? I pulled over. You know where that cab thing is? I pulled over. You know that little like thing? I pulled over. I took out. I had a Mishnah Berurah with me. I just started reading. Right? I read and read and read. Right? I have to get to by 6:30. I have to be by yeshiva. Right? I don't know how long these things are. I have like 6:16. I called my wife. She's like, no. It's done already. Don't worry. You know, I flew out. Right? Because when you're learning, you have nothing to worry about. When you're learning, you have nothing to worry about. That's a though. The more you impress that upon yourself, it's very healthy for the Yiddish neshama. That's food for the Yiddish neshama. The Jewish neshama, the food of the Jewish neshama, is that when I do Ratzon Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects me. What will happen? Only Hashem. Okay, let's go weiter. Okay, so I have a Talmud that, you know, he was nifter in the in Meron. He was in both Kailim. So let me tell you, I couldn't say this the first week because it was fresh and it was raw. Right, but now it's, you know, it's not, it's still fresh, but it's not as raw. Right, so his parents are coming to me today, the boy right after here. I'm going there, and you know, I was thinking what I'm going to tell them. He'll tell me if this is too strong, but this is what I was going to tell them, a story like this. They're good people. They're strong people. They're not wallowing in pain. They're accepting nechama. That's also important to know. Some people wallow in pain, and then, you know, they're not holding my nechama and whatever. Okay, but they're very. They asked me to come. They want to come. They want chizik, right? So I'm going to tell them a story like this. There was a maisa in this is going back about 45 years ago, that there was a balchuva who became from. Now you have to remember, balchuva became from 45 years ago. There was no tshuva movement. There was no, you know, it was not the same. Okay, it was starting because after the Six-Day War and whatever, but it wasn't the same level. The yeshivas that they had, Stamman, they might have had a shetar, but then, but it was a different. This boy got from, and he had to go to a regular yeshiva. He went to a yeshiva called Kfar Chassidim. Right? Kfar Chassidim was relatively Yalpian was there, but today there's no such thing as a regular as a balchuva coming straight to a regular yeshiva. But that day, that there was, you know, there was no such thing because they today he'll go to a balchuva yeshiva and then he'll go on past the totem pole or whatever. But Mashen came then, he went straight to yeshiva. Now he was a balchuva. He had been from for 3 months, and he was somebody who was having incredible atzlacha, right? Incredible atzlacha. He was understanding, and he was becoming a part of the chevra, which is also very difficult to understand, right? And he was somebody that the Rosh Hashivas liked a lot, and Rav Elia liked him a lot, and it was a lot of everything all together. And he was from for about 3 months in the yeshiva, and he drowned. The yeshiva go on Fridays. They go to, you guys don't know from these things, but the yeshivas, they go to like the beach sometimes on a Friday, and right? Yeah. Right, right, like it says on the sign. Rabbi Kalis will be speaking before the beach. You know, what's my yichus? Beach ikker. Right? You know, thank you. So they, Bachram would go to the beach on Friday. They would go to the beach. He went to the beach and he drowned. And it was something very schwer for everybody, obviously, because let me explain to you where we have the hardest time. The hardest time is, in this week's parasha, it talks about Vayomas Nadav Aviyu. In Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dal, it says Vayomas Nadav Aviyu, right? So the reason why Nadav Aviyu was something so difficult to accept, because it was the greatest day of Klal Yisrael's history, right? It was great. It was the Mishkan. It was, right? That's when it becomes so anticlimactic. It's supposed to be so unbelievable, and it became so geferlich. Within a moment, it went for, and that was Meron, right? It was the moment was so unbelievable, and it went, that's what we have, we can't deal with that. That's the part we can't bear, right? And that was here also. Here's somebody who, Nebuch Le'aleinu Chalila, you hear a terrible story, Bacha, this, that, okay. But here was a Bacha that was having success, right? It was unbelievable. He was just now, starting to be Matzliach, and he was about Tshuva and everything, right? And now, all gone. That's the part we can't deal with. So Rav Shalom Shadron, he came to Yeshiva and he gave a shmuz. Rav Elia told him, this was the Nakuda, and this is what you have to, try to deal with. Right? So Shalom Shadron told him, Murdik story. I was Mavar this story, but the story was emes and authentic. Right? You bought it from Heaven, you're going to like this story. And this story, I was invited by Rav Scheinberg, Zichron Levracha. He knows that the Pratim in the story are 100% emes, because it's like it's that unbelievable story that you need. Like, so he said like this: there was a Jew in America named Yerachmiel Wexler. He was from Chicago. Is going back about 90 years ago, 85 years ago, 90 years ago, and he was a wealthy Yid. He was a very good person. He was an Oyev Torah and a Micro Torah, and he was a very good person. He became eventually the father-in-law of Bezalel Jolti. Bezalel Jolti was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He was an Adam Gadol, he was a Chashev Yid, a Talmid Chacham Atzim, and he was his father. There was a Jew named Volk. He was like Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Yid. He used to go to America to talk to people about coming to live in Eretz Yisrael, or coming to visit Eretz Yisrael. This is going back like 85 years, 90 years, it was unheard of, right? And this is when everybody was going on the boat and throwing off their tefillin on the way over, right? Because too heavy, right? Just a shel roish, not a shel yad, right? And, he was going there and trying to tell them to come to live in Eretz Yisrael, or to at least visit Eretz Yisrael, okay? So he Lemaisa went, a lot of times, say he went once to Chicago. And this Yerachmiel Wexler, in 1928, was extremely misragish from this, and he decided he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael. He's not going to live there, but he's going to come, and he's going to visit, which is like unheard of. He came to Eretz Yisrael. This Rav Volk took him around, took him to all different places, and he brought him to Chevron. Chevron in those days was Chevron Yeshiva, and that's why it's called Chevron, in case you didn't know, right? Chevron. So Bekitzer, he took him to Chevron Yeshiva. Now he had a 17-year-old son, this Yerachmiel Wexler, and when he came there, he was blown away from the yeshiva. That's a slapotka. Chevron is a mokim, Chevron is a tzura, it's a mokim. There's a rosh yeshivas, and there's a tzura, mashkichim. It's like a real pride, and the Torah, everything meridik. And he wanted to stay. 17-year-old Bacher staying in Eretz Yisrael in 1928, no indoor plumbing, verstehst, no plumbing indoor, decided to stay. So this one, Volk, was the shadchan, the realtor, to get his father, to get him to stay. And he was, like I said, he was an Oyev Torah. You see, afterward, his son-in-law became one of the Gedolei Ador, so obviously he was somebody who understood Torah, and he was mekabelit. It was hard for him, it was hard for his wife, but they decided to let the kid stay in Eretz Yisrael. And a decision like that meant, it meant a few things. It meant, who knows, maybe not seeing the kid at his wedding. It meant a lot of things, right? Who knows, who knows what it meant? They knew that, and that's what they decided to do. In 1929, there was a massacre in Hebron. Some of you heard of this. It was a terrible massacre. The Yimach Shemois, the beasts from Gehenim, they killed 133 people, but they butchered. There was Noir Noiros. He, this child, this Bacher, was hiding in the house, Mishpachat Slonim. It was a known family over there that all the Bacher went to hide in. They killed everybody there. He died saying Vidui with a smile on his face and saying that he died as Yeshiva Bacher. He died as, because that was the Hashkafa in Heaven, is the Hashkafa, is that Yeshiva Bacher is the Ribbono Shel Olam's greatest pride and greatest joy and greatest nachas. And I died as Yeshiva Bacher, the greatest pride, the greatest joy, the greatest nachas. The end of the story. Almost. So, obviously, the Shmua and Noirah came back to America. And they understood. This Rav Volk was the broken person. He knew he was the Shatrin. He was the Goyrim. He was the Achroi. He was the responsible. And he never went back to Chicago again because he couldn't bear going to Chicago and seeing this Wexler, and he wasn't able to. Years went by. I think for a few years went by. And he would come every year, to collect money for Moistus in Eretz Yisrael and whatever. Never again did he talk about telling people to come to Eretz Yisrael. He was a broken person. He was the achroi, the ashamed, the responsible. So one year he was in New York. Let's say this is probably in like 1935 or something. It was like 5 years later. He was in New York. And this Wexler was there. And he came special because he heard that Volk, this Revolk, was coming to New York to whatever, to talk or to plead with people, whatever. So when he came there, he saw his face. He buried his face in shame. He couldn't bear seeing him. And he told him, he doesn't understand, why won't he come anymore to Chicago? He knew what was going on. He said, why won't he come to Chicago? I can't see you and I can't talk to you. He told him, let me explain to you something, right? You come to Chicago, I'm going to treat you the way that I treat my parents. Because I have the most hakaras hatoyv to you. Why do I have the most hakaras hatoyv? He says, my son was nigzer to die on Yud Ches Av Tov Shin, Tov Resh Pei test. That was the day he was supposed to die, right? He could have died, and this was his lashon, this is Rav Scheinberg, when he told me the story, he also said, he could have died an American boy, right? He could have died a regular American boy. He could have just died. He died a yeshiva bacher. He died a yeshiva, he died to be Baruch Shalom's pleasure, his naches, right? And he could have he was going to die either way. He was going to hit by a car. He was going to hit by a lightning bolt. He was going to die. Right? But he died a yeshiva bacher. And it's all because of you that he got to die as a yeshiva bacher. Right? Nothing else had to be said. Nothing else. Nothing else had to be said. Someone told me, I said the story over, so someone told me that about 5 years ago, there's a Baal Tshuva yeshiva called Netivot Olam. And a similar type of story. There was a boy who joined the yeshiva, and he was called up for the miluim. It was when was it, with the whole Aza? It was 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something like 5 years ago. And he was called up to the miluim. He was in a yeshiva for about a year, a Baal Tshuva yeshiva. He was called up to the miluim, and his jeep went over a mine, and he died. Everybody in the jeep died, and he died also. So there's a darshan in Bnei Brak. His name is Mishkovsky, Chizki Mishkovsky, a famous darshan, very famous darshan. And this is a darshan that the family wanted some type of a message from Reb Chaim, like a message from Reb Chaim. They were chiloyim, they knew, everyone knows Reb Chaim, everyone knows Reb Chaim, so they decided to get Reb Chizki was going to go. He's going to bring a message from Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim was asked to make a message. So Reb Chaim said, the message, tell them that he was supposed to die last year. That's not a good message to tell a grieving parents. Anything else? That's the message. Right? He was supposed to die last year. He got a whole year. He got an extra year of life. Meridik is up. Goes to the Shiva, right? He's being Menachem and telling him, what's the message from Reb Chaim? Nobody wants to say, right? Reb Chaim said that Shef Nechama, that's all he said. That's it, nothing, anything different. He said, Chaim said that he's supposed to die last year. He's supposed to die last year. And he got an extra year. Book. Supposed to die last year, and he got an extra year. The father said, I heard this story from, there's a Jew named Brooke, he said over the story. He said, the father said, last year, my son was in a jeep, and the jeep went over a mine. The jeep went over a mine, and two people in the car died, and he didn't die. And that's why he became Baal Tshuva. The reason he became Baal Tshuva was because he had such a soiris. Some people have to go, they're blown up to become front. So he was right. He was supposed to die last year. He got an extra deer. So the Shkafa in these things is that, these people, these 45 people, you know, you can't say this at the Levaya, right? But these 45 people, they had to die, but they could have died in 45 different ways, right? For sure going to die. Right? But now the Rosh that came out of the world, it was an awesome Kiddush Hashem. Everyone was mechazik themselves in all different ways. So they got to die in such an oifen. Such an oifen. So that's that. So what did we talk about today? We talked about... what? Yeshiva's safest place on earth is yeshiva, right? When you look at the trees on Shavuos, right back down to learn, right? And every missile has its address. There's nothing to be scared about, right? Nothing to be scared about. And what? What?
Close your windows.
Close your windows. Careful who you're and that's the most important, is be very careful who you're rabbi. Shabbos Kedoshim.